Bibles this morning. I hope you do. Let's take them and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And begin at verse number 1. I want to read the first three verses in this chapter this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." Brother Steve Dowdy, would you please pray for the message this morning?
Yes.
Yes. Please. Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. And I just want you to pay attention and notice the passage that we just read. And I want you to notice that Paul the Apostle here declares that the Corinthians to be an epistle, and he used these words, written in our hearts. Now, if you ask what an epistle is a written message or a letter. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, the title of the book that I'm preaching out of this morning to you, reads this. It reads, "The Second Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians." So the idea that Paul is conveying here that I want us to get in our minds this morning is that we as Christians are human beings. Letters written not with ink, as the Bible says, as an actual letter would be written with, are not on tables of stone, as it just said, as maybe the Ten Commandments was written on, or some other message might be written on, but in the fleshy tables of the heart, the Bible says. Now, I want you to think of some common expressions. Some common expressions. His life or my life is an open book. Comparing that person's life to a message or to a book. Another one we use, "I read you like a book." Or we use this expression, "You can't judge a book by its cover." Implying that you can't look on the outside of somebody necessarily and tell what's on the inside. Excuse me. That's three examples right there of how we are compared to a message, to a book, to a letter. Now, the title of my message this morning is this: Are you a letter worth reading? Are you a letter worth reading? You are a letter. And you will be read by many, many people before you and I either die or face the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me, can we have some cool air, brother? We need some cool air. Thank you. You are a letter, and you will be read by many before you die. What I want to know is this: are you a good read or a bad read?
Amen.
Are you a good read or are you a waste of time? I want to see what kind of letter you are. Are you a letter worth reading? The Bible says that we are compared to letters or a message. And our letter is open before everybody that's around us. So I have 3 points this morning, and that'll be my message. Number one, the first point I want to say is this: ye are known and read of all men. That's what it says there in verse number 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Let me tell you something this morning, church. You have a testimony.
Amen.
Sitting here in this church this morning, you have a personal testimony. I don't know what kind of testimony that is. It could be a good testimony. It could be a bad testimony. I don't know what your testimony is, but I can promise you one thing. You have a testimony. The Bible says that you're known and that you're read of all men. Whoever you come in contact with, they are reading you. They know you. They are looking at you. And you, through the course of your years on this earth and the time that you've been here on this earth, you have developed a testimony with all those around you. Like I said, it can be a good testimony or it can be a bad testimony, but you have in fact developed and have a testimony among people. You are like a letter because everybody knows you and everybody can read you. And let me just say this, people are watching you and me like a hawk. And many of those folks that are watching you and me like a hawk are just sitting there waiting for us to mess up and say or do something that's wrong. They're not there hoping that you profess to be a Christian on the job site. You profess to be a Christian at school. You profess to be a Christian in your neighborhood. They're not looking at you hoping that you do well and that you walk with the Lord and that you keep your testimony and act like a good Christian. They're watching you waiting for you to fall. They're looking at you waiting for you to mess up so they can point their finger at you. And if somehow they feel like that excuses them because they said, hey, I never professed to believe anything. That fella did and look how he fell. They don't know they're going to be in trouble with God, but nevertheless, they're watching you. And listen, they don't love to see you witness for God. They love to see you get up there and hit your, while we was talking about Sunday school this morning, hit your finger with a hammer and go to cussing. They say, hey man, yesterday you was telling me about the Lord, now you're cussing. Hey, they don't want to see that, hear about you. You come and say, hey man, I've been sober. Jesus Christ saved me 2 years ago, and I've been sober ever since, and I ain't been drunk in 2 years. Amen. And then they're waiting for you the next time they hear about you falling off the wagon and getting drunk. That's what, listen, they don't give a rip about you being sober for 2 years, but they'll nail you to the cross, brother, when they hear you fall off the wagon again. That's how people are. They're watching you, and they're not worried about all the times you're telling the truth and being honest, but that one time you lie, or that one time you don't fill out your time card right, or you carry home a pen from the office that you know is not yours. That's what they'll remember, brother. They are looking for you to be a hypocrite. They're wanting to prove that you're a hypocrite. You and I we're a letter. We're an epistle. We're a message. Our life is an open book. And everybody we're coming in contact with is reading us and looking at us and deciphering us and trying to figure out what we are. And they're not rooting for us to turn out good, brother. That the world wants you to be just like them.
Amen.
Are you a letter worth reading? Are you a letter worth reading? Let me tell you something, folks. This world may never read the epistle to the Galatians. This world may never pick up a Bible and read the epistle to the Ephesians. They may never turn over there and read the epistle to the Romans. But they'll sure read the epistle of Dennis Knowles. They'll sure read the epistle of Russell Broussard. They'll sure read the epistle of LeVon Bullock. The epistle of Steve Dowdy. They're going to read you and me. In verse number 3, it says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Listen, if you manifestly declare yourself as an epistle of Christ, that you are a born-again Christian, and you let everybody know it, you better be ready for them to put you to the test, brother.
Amen.
They're going to read you. They're going to look at you. They're going to open you. You are a letter. You are a letter that's pinned up for all. Let me ask you something. Are you a letter worth reading? Are you a letter worth reading? Listen, if you tell everybody that you're saved and you try to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, which you should, if you're saved, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. You should tell everybody. If you're saved, you should live for God and take a stand wherever you are, in your family, your community, your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, wherever, in the church. But you just be prepared for this. When you do that, listen, when you do that, You're going to be under constant scrutiny by everybody around you. They're going to be watching you and looking at you and looking for any weakness that you have. You're a letter. And you say, well, you know, people ain't paying much attention to me. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. Let me tell you something, mom and daddies, before I move on to point number two. Your youngest are watching you. They're learning from you. They're learning their temperament from you. They're learning their words from you. They're learning their actions from you. They're learning their dress from you. They're learning their conduct from you. They're learning their morals from you. Their values from you. They're getting it from you. They are watching you. You are an open book to your children. You are a letter written to your grandchildren and to the other children around you. And what they're learning about you is going to help determine what they're going to be. You better remember that. Number two, not only are you an epistle that's known and read of all men, you are the only epistle that many people may ever read. Have you ever heard that expression said before that you and I are sometimes the only Bible that some people will ever read? That is a true expression. The only epistle, listen, you and I have the Lord Jesus Christ within us, don't we? I mean, if you're saved here this morning, the Bible says you're in Christ and Christ is in you. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Listen, the author of every epistle in this Bible, the author of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives within me and you. He lives within us. So as we shine forth as a message, as we shine forth as some type of word to everybody, we have the word living within us. And we ought to be giving off a good word, don't you think? Amen. And sometimes, listen, people nowadays do not come to church. We have to go out and get them. Right. Now, you've done a good job of that here, and I hope you'll do some more of it. But I'm telling you, the days of having mass revivals and running 2 or 3 weeks and the old whiskey runners shutting down their stills and the old lost people that never cared about God showing up for a revival and packing out a ball stadium with thousands and having people come and get saved, them days are over. People do not come to church like they used to. They're not coming to church like they used to. The only contact with the church, and many of them don't read their Bible, and many of them don't even have a Bible. And the only contact with the church, the only contact with the Bible, the only contact with Scripture and what's right and what's wrong, and the Lord Jesus Christ is you. You are the open epistle. You're the message. You're the open book to everybody. They're reading you. And whatever they read from you may ultimately determine what they do with Him. Do you understand that? What they read from you may ultimately determine what they do with Him. When they read you, what are they reading? They're reading out of a good old KJV. When they look at you, they're looking at NIV. Things changed, things taken out, things messed up. You know what the prevalent thing about the NIV is? It's got man's dirty hands all in it. They don't need to look at you with a life that's got man's dirty hands in it. They need to look at you as a life with spirit controlled by the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. Or you may be that living Bible. Ain't nothing, I don't know why they call it the living Bible. There ain't nothing alive about it. Every one I ever seen, every edition came in the color of green. I'm not some of these other preachers, I call it the green monster. It's the most pitiful thing I have ever read in my life. I wonder if somebody could say that about you when they read your message and read your letter. That's the most pitiful thing I've ever read in my life. Listen, they're reading you every day. Every day. Some of them, as soon as you get to work, you know what they do, metaphorically speaking? They reach in there and get their glasses out, put them on, their reading glasses. They get real close, Now they ain't read their Bible. Now they ain't been to church. Now they ain't done nothing for God. But they're examining you. They're reading you. And all the good stuff they're reading, they're hurrying through it. Just, and then they finally get to the juicy stuff. Oh, yeah. Right here. That's what they're doing. They're waiting to read something bad about you, not good. Your old homies or old worldly friends or friends you used to run around with and raise hell and party with, they're not wanting you to do good. They're not wanting you to stay off the bottle or stay off drugs or stay in church or stay in your Bible and live for God. They want you to fall. They're waiting for you to fall. You have to stay away from that crowd. Because they're not going to help you. They're going to hurt you. If you give out a tract, or you witness to somebody, or you live Jesus Christ in front of them, you may give them the only gospel they ever hear. Some of you construction workers, you work with some fellas. I know Brother Russell and Brother Roy and some of all you other, Brother Joe and I, just all of you. That we have so many construction workers, I can't even keep up with you all in here. But listen, I'm going to tell you fellas something, all of you. You're working with people, brother, that the only time they're ever going to see anything spiritual is you. It's up to you. You're their open Bible. You're their open letter. And you're going to have to open yourself up to them. And finally, I have one more point. Number three, how they read you will greatly influence how they turn out for the Lord. We said that about the young people a while ago. It's not just the young people. It's everybody. I believe whether people turn out lost or saved may have a great deal to do with you and what you do and how you live. What kind of testimony you present. I tell you this, you may be working around somebody and they're reading you and they're already saved. But are they going to really surrender to God and really live for God and really become something great for God? It's going to depend on you. You can come along beside them and they can see you handling yourself in a good way at work when everything's hot. And you've been working all day and you're tired and wore out and everybody else is cussing and fussing in a bad mood. And the sun's beating down on your back and you're having trouble and you got to get this job done and the boss is coming down on your back. And somebody, and say you stand up and say, oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody turn over there and say, what the blank are you saying that for, man? This is the worst job we've ever been on. You say, well, I'm going to heaven when I die. I've got hope. And that fellow gets over there, he cusses you under his breath and mumbling that crazy blankety blank blank. But then later on he gets to thinking about it. Why? He's in the same situation I'm in. He's in the same circumstances I'm in. He's in the same heat, in the same difficult job. Why is he happy and I'm not? Amen. Or he might just look over there and you're cussing and grumbling worse than he is.
Yeah.
You know what message you're sending him? No hope. No help. We're all in this together and it's all nothing but downhill. Let's just all go to hell together. That's the message. When they read you, do they read about a spiritual, holy, Christ-like man, or do they read about a hypocrite, a filthy mouth, dishonest, greedy, perverted, ungodly man? What are they reading when they read about you? They're reading one or the other. And since we are compared to a letter in the Bible, in a book, I want to just look at a few comparisons between good Christians and the Bible. First of all, the Bible is perfect. It's perfect. You know what we're commanded to do? The Bible says, be ye perfect. Jesus says, for I am perfect. Now listen, being perfect does not mean being sinless. Being perfect and sinless are two different things. The word perfect means to be mature or complete. In other words, you and I ought to be mature Christians, complete Christians. We ought to be growing in the Lord. We ought to be right where we're supposed to be for the time we've been saved.
Amen.
And the Bible says, and listen, the Bible is a perfect book. It's without error. It's without flaw. And when somebody reads us, they ought to read somebody. Listen, they're not going to read a sinless book like they would the Bible. But I tell you what, if you're saved, you won't never be sinless until you die, but you ought to be sinning less. And if you're not, there's something wrong. I'll tell you something else about the Bible. It's a book of truth. Are you? Are you a person of truth? Are you a person of honesty? When they read the Bible, they read the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Are you a person of truth like the Bible? You should be. Are you a liar? Are you a dishonest person? Are you, you know, the biggest lie there is a hypocrite. You try to pretend like you're one thing when you're really another. You're like that. You're not a letter worth reading. You're not. Are you steadfast? Listen to me. The Bible is steadfast. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Jesus is. This book ain't going to change for you. This book ain't going to change for me. This book ain't going to change for Hollywood. It ain't going to change for the government. This book is going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And it don't give a rip who in this world likes it or not. Amen. It's steadfast for you. Listen, there are lost people. Let me explain this to you. I just got a few more minutes, but I want you to stay with me now. Listen. You and I go through the same thing lost people do. The lost people get an electric bill, and unfortunately, I get one too. The lost people, they get a water bill, and I get one too. Unless you've been in River Falls, you might not have got one. I don't know. Everybody gets a water bill. Everybody gets an electric bill. Listen to me. Lost people have sicknesses. Saved people have sicknesses. Lost people have spouses to die. Saved people have spouses to die. Lost people have youngins to die. Saved people have youngins to die. We all go through the same thing. The thing that separates us is that saved people have hope and lost people don't. And when they read you and they look at you and they say, look at old brother so-and-so over there. Look at the tragedy he's had. Look at the problems he's had. Look at the struggle he's had. Look at what he's went through. Yet he's got hope. He's got peace. He's got comfort. And he's going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is he's got, but I ain't got it. And I'd sure like to have it. Yeah. Or they can watch you get the mully grubs and complain just like the world does when they have problems. The Bible is a book of absolutes. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Are you? Listen, I'm so sick and tired of this politically correct age. And it's right, unless this situation, you know, this situational ethics show up. Yeah, I'll go with the Bible, but you know, if this happens right here, then we'll just throw the Bible out the window and do something different. That's a baloney. That's hogwash. The Bible is a book of absolutes. Are you a letter of absolutes? Are you just going along with the flow? Can they look at you and say, I'll tell you one thing about old Dennis Knowles there. I read his letter. Like it, lump it, agree with him or not agree with him. He ain't changing his colors for nobody. If that book says it's wrong, he don't care what the crowd says. He says it's wrong. If that book says it's right, he don't care what the crowd says. He says it's right. That's the kind of message you ought to be given. Listen, the Bible has the answer. For all the major problems in life, the most major problem in life, the Bible has an answer. Do you? As God's child, you should. 1 Peter, listen, one verse to you. 1 Peter 3:15 says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That Bible says you need to be ready at all times to give an answer. When somebody comes up and says, what is all this hope you have about? Why are you happy in sad times? Why do you keep talking about I wish the Lord would come back? Why do you keep talking about I'll be glad when I go to heaven? Why are you talking, singing these hymns about Zion and when we all get to heaven and what a day of rejoicing that will be? Why do you say all that stuff? And you can sit down and say, I thought you'd never ask. I got something to tell you. In conclusion, I want to ask you this question. Are you a letter worth reading? Ask yourself, are you a letter worth reading? You should be. You should be. If you're saved, you should be. Now, the fact is, you're being read. You're read and known of everybody. They're reading you. They've read you. Gonna read you some more. I have one more question. Since everybody's reading you, are you helping or are you hindering others when they read you? Are you helping or are you hindering others when they read you? Are you a letter worth reading? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.